Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Marvel Movie News, bringing you the most up-to-date discussion and commentary within the Marvel Universe.
Yeah. All right. Hello, Marvel fans, and welcome to another edition of the Marvel Movie News, where we break down all the Marvel movie news from all the studios and tell you why you should be as excited as... we are.
Yes.
Yes. We are broadcasting to you live from the Danger Room. You can visit us on Facebook. We're still at Marvel News for Marvel fans. Like us. Are we changing? Are we going
to
change the name?
We are going to try. Facebook has weird... Yeah. Like, once you reach X amount of fans, it's hard to petition to change your name.
Facebook.
Way but we only future. Have like 1,000. I'm almost tempted to just create a new one.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to make anyone like move over. We've already got so much history. Yeah, we've got so much history on that page. I think
check us out on Facebook.
Find us on Facebook, Marvel News for Marvel fans. We're also on Twitter at Marvel Schmoes. You can also find me at the Matt Key.
Find me at M Placco.
At Matt Cook tweeted.
You can also find us on YouTube or on iTunes underneath the Popcorn Talk Network banner, which we are now proudly a part of.
Yes.
Please don't forget to subscribe and rate us on iTunes. It keeps us coming back to you every week. Mm-hmm. So, let's get into it.
Let's get into it.
Let's just get into it. So there's not a whole lot of big news.
There's nothing
to really talk about.
Yeah, it was a really quiet week, actually.
Really quiet week. We covered it all last week.
Last show was great. We got those two breaking news.
There was that one thing.
We talked about the Kristen Ritter thing.
Mm-hmm. We talked about Deadpool being Ryan Reynolds and Hitmonkey. That was a lot of fun.
Hitmonkey.
But then there was that one thing that I think it came out like 26 minutes after we finished recording.
That little bit of news that
Benedict Cumberbatch is confirmed to play Doctor Strange.
That's right.
I don't know how to do
the show now that we know.
I know.
I mean, like it's been such a constant since the first day. It's like Doctor Strange, who's it gonna be? Who's it gonna be? And then all these other things have come out before that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's been this like constant. It's like the end of an arc for us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's our first trade has been put in. It's like the quest for Strange. What? The Strange quest, maybe. Right?
This is our mid-season...
There he is.
Break.
Mid-season break.
The good doctor. Yeah. Officially.
So this... this is our Doctor Strange, which, by the way, I just have to point out this beautiful time cover shot by photographer Dan Winters, because he's an amazing photographer. And also... I'm going to eat my words here in a little bit. I've been teasing it all week. I saw the Imitation Game
The Imitation Game.
Who's going to get invited?
It's a game. Everyone's playing it.
Well,
sorry,
I hate you guys. I'm done. It's fine. I'm not going to.
You saw the Imitation Game.
We want to hear.
No, it's fine. Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
We care so much. We were making jokes about it.
So, I'm going to eat my words.
I love this.
I actually really like Benedict Cumberbatch.
Because of the Imitation Game?
Yes, he was phenomenal. Now, that being said, I did not see any ounce of what Doctor Strange could be from him in that.
Yeah.
But he completely changed my opinion of him as an actor.
Wow.
Because I have not enjoyed Sherlock. I thought it was a little weird and forced and quirky, but that also is my issues with Stephen Moffat and a lot of the writing behind Sherlock.
Yeah.
I could not stand him as Khan. I thought... A lot of that was kind of hokey, and he overplayed that part. But again, I think that was due to direction. But after watching this, he is phenomenal. He is a great actor. And again, he took on a role that I see no sense of what he could possibly bring to being Doctor Strange other than being British, which he's
but
not.
Doctor Strange
but
is
he's
not British.
British.
I hope when Strange comes out, it makes you hate him again.
I know. But I was really, really impressed by... the acting job in that and his ability to transform into this character. So I'm a huge fan of a lot of like spy World War II stuff, and the fact that he's playing Alan Turing, who dealt a lot with the Enigma machine, which you see one of those over there. I find it absolutely fascinating, and the fact that he was able to bring to life one of these real life heroes that I've always been fascinated with, I fell in love, and I was like, okay, I'm not like what you would call a Cumberbatch by any means. I just think he's a great actor, and now I'm excited.
You now respect him, and you're excited to see what he does.
I very much respect him, and I think it's going to be great to see how he brings his own gravitas into that role, because I don't know if we're going to see a weird, quirky kind of an... Yeah, I think we're going to see a serious character.
That's one of the things, is that even Jatarvis on because I picked him up and brought him into the studio today because I'm a nice man.
Jatarvis, did you ask him to do that, or was that...
No,
did he
I
come
forced
grab
him.
You?
I forced him into my car.
All right.
I was like, let's get there early.
Yeah, no nicer men than the kind that throw you into their car.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
These are the things that as a young lady, I'm warned about.
Me too, as a young lady, I'm nervous. Yeah.
He told me he was going to take me to Dave and Buster's, and then we ended up here.
Sorry. The cruelest game.
Talk about imitation.
So you guys came in together.
I forgot what I was going to say.
All right. Well, I don't care. What do you think about Benedict?
No, so he was saying...
Well, what, actually, can Jatarvis tell us what he was saying?
He's still gagged.
Oh, my God.
No, he was asking if Doctor Strange is a really quirky character or a grounded character, and my answer was he's a very grounded character in a very quirky world. Like, he trips through like these weird, quirky dimensions, but he's like, oh, look at that over there. Yes. No. Hoary host of Hoggoth. I'll take
care
of it.
He's pretty humorless.
Yeah. 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 He kind of has no humor, which is why Benedict is perfect for him.
Cause,
you know, we all know Benedict has no humor to him.
I
didn't say that.
Yeah,
Benny.
I didn't say that. I didn't. I mean, I hear he's really personable, and I hear he's really actually great to work with.
Yeah.
But
I've heard the same.
Yeah.
But I do think he's going to be, was disappointed when Joaquin was not doing it, because you sold me on him. You really sold me on him. I was excited to see him. Then he turned it down, and when Benedict came back into the talks, I've always been excited to hear Benedict say, by the hoary host of Hoggoth, or by the Vishanti, or by the winds of Watoom.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be
by the crimson bands of Sitarak.
What do you want to see? What do you want out of the film? Just quickly.
I want to see how they... I mean, they're talking about doing the extra-dimensional stuff. I want to see how they're doing extra-dimensional stuff. And I want to see what magic looks like in the world, because we've seen what it looks like to see Captain America throw his shield, and we've seen what repulsor blasts look like, and we've seen the cosmic side of things. We've seen Celestials now on screen.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen Howard the Duck. We've seen amazing things that Marvel's brought to life, but they still have not done anything with magic.
Well, and it seems like Scarlet Witch is going to open that door a little bit in Avengers 2, and then Benedict's going to come in and kick the door down, hopefully.
Yeah. Boom! Well, here's some magic.
Yeah, it's hard to say if they're going to make Scarlet Witch magic-based or in humans-based. So.
Right.
Well, but she kind of walks like a weird
line.
She
does,
like, walks a weird line.
In the comics,
is she magic?
Yes,
is she a mutant? Like,
they can change that all because of what words they own and what words they don't.
Yeah, very true. And, that's what I want to see. I mean, what do you guys want to see out of it? Or do you know Strange well enough to even make that call?
You know, I don't, because a lot of my Doctor Strange tie-ins are to where he pops in with the X universe. So currently, magic has been kind of going back into time and studying and training with Doctor Strange.
Yeah, which is cool.
It was actually just released in the comics. She's the new in the 2099 verse. She is
the Sorcerer
Supreme, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, Ilyana Rasputin.
Which I mean, it's a nice. It makes a good legacy sense. But he is such an interesting character when he does pop up. I would like to see a little bit of an. Maybe not a full origin story like Batman Year One type origin, but I'd like to see a little bit more background, because, you know, we know how Tony Stark came to be. We knew how Captain America came to be. And the original, like the initial movies, the part ones do tend to be a little bit origin story. And I'd like to see that. Like as a newcomer to his property, I would like to see how he at least gets his powers.
And I think that's most of the world. So I think it'll most certainly be origin-based stuff. And again, I think I said this at one time. I watched the animated film that's on Netflix right now, the Doctor Strange movie.
It's not bad.
And its origin, I really liked it, and it made me excited to see that. I think what I'm most interested in is the humble pie that'll probably be served to Stephen Strange and watching him rebuild and refocus and find out his purpose and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what balance they were, because you already have, like, the wealthy playboy billionaire, which is Tony Stark, and I think that's where Strange starts.
He starts off as a wealthy millionaire surgeon. Yeah.
Right. He's like
who like has like a total god complex until he breaks his hands.
Right. And everything he knows falls apart. Yeah. I'm interested. I don't know. I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to see the cloak. I hope he gets the cape.
What do we got, Jatarvis? You got the gag out?
Yeah. Oh, good. Real quick.
Thanks.
Now, I'm not very well known with Doctor Strange, as I said.
You're not well known with him?
Doctor Strange doesn't know you very well?
He doesn't really know who you are?
We don't know each other.
That's a shame.
He's a nice man. A little strange.
Is there a key villain? Yeah. Is there one villain
like Dormammu?
Dormammu.
Yeah.
That is the main villain for
him. That's the main villain. Yeah,
that's his big villain.
Do
you see him in his movie?
Well, it's Dormammu, Nightmare, or Baron Mordo. Those are the top three for him, I would say.
What do you think? What are the odds on seeing one of them? Or all of them?
Well, everything that I've read about what they're doing with the movie is that it's going to be like this interdimensional, like tripping kind of like trippy movie.
So we
could kind of
see all these villains.
So it's possible that you'll see a lot of them. I think most likely there will be like Carl Mordo. Like, that's the most evil name ever. Let's just be honest. Carl. Like, the big bad is Carl Mordo. But he's a student along with Doctor Strange and the Ancient One and the Hidden Temple in the Himalayas. And he is almost as powerful as Doctor Strange. He just doesn't have the amulet or the Cloak of Levitation because he's not the Sorcerer Supreme. But he ends up teaming up with Dormammu in the comics. And I think they call it the Eternity Saga. And it's one of the biggest... It's actually considered by some comic book historians to be the first graphic novel ever written. Because it covered about 20 different issues. Eternity's brought into it. Like, it goes everywhere. It's this broad, expansive story that Stan Lee and Ditko did. And, I think that we could see Dormammu in it. I'm expecting to see Dormammu.
So they trained in a hidden city in, like, the Himalayas, right?
Yeah.
Is that the same city as Iron Fist?
Yeah. No, but I want it to be.
Really
I
close
want
together?
To
Do you think they, like, kind of overlap a little bit? And, like,
really...
strange garbage comes from one city into the other. And they're both hidden from each other. And they're like, where does this keep coming from?
And
the neighbors in the city are getting in fights with each other. And, like, I swear, I've never even seen that type of fabric. Yeah. That must come from some other hidden city.
That must come from some other hidden city.
Like, there's another hidden city in these mountains that would train another superhero? What are you talking about? You're being a jerk, Roy.
You're
getting into a fight and... You know what I mean? It would be terrible.
Get out of here,
like
Danny Rand.
You have this already scripted out. Like, you
I don't.
Know how this is going to go.
It sounds good, though. You should write it.
I'll write it up. Check out my new web series called The Hidden Cities of the Himalayas. I'm going to animate it all by hand, and it'll take me...
25 years.
I kind of want it to actually be a travel
think
show.
So?
Like a travel and
a travel
food
show?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
A travel show? Like a travel guy just keeps showing up and like learning different mystic arts from different cities.
Oh, my God. That would be amazing to do a travel show with the hidden cities of the Marvelverse.
Yeah. And then they like spin it off, and like Guy Fieri's walking around trying Mystic Pig.
Yeah, and he
and
can
stuff.
Go down to like Italian and meet some Inhumans.
Yeah,
and he can eat some Kree.
Meet the Kree and the Inhumans of Atalan on the blue side of the moon.
Be great, check it out on the Food Network.
Come to you live from the Food Network. So Dormammu is the main bad guy. He's the demon lord of the dark dimension and is a being of amazing power. He's got a flaming head.
I was like, he's a little Ghost Rider.
But he was Ghost Rider before Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
So he's from 1965.
I fought him a lot in Marvel vs. Capcom.
Yeah. I never played that game. I thought it was amazing. Yeah.
I still like the second one.
Mm-hmm.
It's better than I think. I mean, the third one that came out was really fun and it looked great, but Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
New Age
of Heroes.
New Age
it's
of
the
Heroes.
Best. It's the best.
Hey, Jatarvis, did I answer your question enough or do you have more?
I'm going to have to do a little more study on my own, maybe read some comics, but is there anyone, like a certain actor? Like Sheila, he does kind of like, you know, Ghost Rider.
Who, Dormammu?
Yeah.
Are you going to get Nick Cage?
Do you need somebody like famous?
Chris Evans can do it.
Well, you know what?
He can play everything.
I was going to say this later, but Pacino wants to do Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, what was it? The Happy, Sad, Confused podcast, Josh Horowitz, where he said, yeah, I've met with the Marvel guy. That's the quote that he said. I think he would play an amazing Dormammu.
Oh.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah,
little
be...
devil's advocate going back.
Like, do some mocap, have like a flaming head.
Yeah.
Like,
you know who I think he'd be great at?
No.
Jason.
Oh.
Oh.
What a cool idea that would be, right?
Wow.
As that nasty king.
Oh, my God.
Like, who's just kind of drunk with power and put Chris Pratt in his place and all that. You know what I mean? Like, that would be really cool.
That would be really cool.
For those who don't know, in the comic books, Jason is King of Spartax, and he's Star-Lord's father.
Yeah.
And he's a pretty big jerk.
Yeah. Like, giant jerk.
He really doesn't care about anything but his empire, and he's building it and all that stuff.
And he wants to destroy Earth.
Yeah.
Because he thinks Earth is like a backwater.
Yeah.
Like he describes Earth as like a backwater hillbilly sort of like, which, just a bunch of people with shotguns, like, yeah, just blowing things away. Yeah. Like,
let's pave over it, put up a strip mall.
Yeah, exactly. That's why he sees it. But I don't. They're not planning to have Jason in the movie,
I know,
right?
But maybe he'd be great in like royal Spartax garb and like sitting on a throne and like, I don't know.
He would be great. He would be great. So, anyway, Zhitarvis, I think that Pacino would play a great Dormammu, personally, because he would need that sort of, like, evil gravitas.
That threat.
That threat. And I think Pacino would play that really well.
Yeah, I agree.
So.
That's another character. That character would look crazy.
Dormammu?
Yeah. I mean, he's a crazy-looking character.
I would just love to see how Marvel brings that about, because they've been so good at keeping everything grounded. Even with like Guardians, it's like, how many aliens did you see? And everything looked so real and put together that I feel like if they were to do Dormammu, they probably wouldn't do Flaming Skull all the time, but that would be like when they, during the final battle, he would, something like that would happen.
Oh man, because, I think he would be a Flaming Skull the entire time.
Really? I don't think so. I think
no, I think Marvel wants to push it with Doctor Strange.
Really?
Yeah. I think they really do. Like, I think Kevin Feige's a giant Doctor Strange fan, like, from everything he's said. And if he's anything like me, I don't want to see him ever not have a flaming head.
See, but to me, I would want to see Al Pacino bring to life a character and not just mocap. So I think if you know, in the perfect world, if this is, we get this fan casting, I would actually like to see him play a version of Dormammu that we can
like a human version where he appears to Strange,
which would be neat. And then, you know, in the cosmic verse, he's got
I could get behind that
because I do kind of like the separation of, you know, and I think it's just something from reading a lot of stuff with magic and limbo, that, you know, when the demons are in limbo, she has her specific limbo form versus the earthly form, and I almost like that separation, because as a reader it kind of brings more grounded reality to me. But I would like to see my call for Pacino. I know I was joking earlier and saying I would like to see him as Purple Man. But then we were talking, I'd really like to see him as Kang.
Oh, he would be a great Kang.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, talk about, like, Marvel
for
Phase
Inhumans,
4.
Yeah.
So, Kang the Conqueror. Real quick, go.
Kang the Conqueror. I also think he would be in, like, just imagine just his head, Ego the Living Planet.
Oh, I thought you were going to say MODOK.
No,
MODOK is another one that MODOK I want to see.
Be
like,
perfect.
He would be an amazing MODOK, but just to picture his giant floating head as Ego the Living Planet.
For sure.
Which I wish I had a
picture on screen.
So
for you guys who don't know, check out Ego the Living Planet. He's a living planet. He's just a big face. But Kang the Conqueror, who is that?
Kang the Conqueror.
One of the Avengers' oldest.
He's one of the first big foes, and he is a time traveler who, I really don't know a whole lot about him, except that, like, there's also a version of him called Immortus, like the younger version of him, where he's not as evil. But Kang the Conqueror is like a time traveling man from what century? I can't remember what century.
Like something far,
way in the future.
Yeah,
and he just wreaks total havoc. On the Avengers all the time.
Yeah, he's a tough guy. So
and
that'd
like
be cool.
With all the technology, so like Tony Stark's like, I've got Iron Man technology, and he's like, I've like. Right. I'm 5,000 years in the future for that technology.
That's pencil and paper to Kang.
Good work. Good work, Tony Stark. Good try. Yeah, and he's conquered them a lot. I mean, there's been a lot of... right after the Dark Angel thing in X-Force, Kang...
Shows up.
Showed up. What was the name of that story?
I don't remember.
That Remender was doing. I can't remember.
He did some good stuff, Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes, which I believe is also on Netflix right now.
It's a great
series
that
for anybody
series
who's looking for something to watch. Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
That is fantastic.
One of my
series.
Absolute favorites.
Yeah, I had a blast with that. I was sad when they canceled it.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
You know what else was good? Wolverine and the X-Men.
I loved how they brought...
It was only one season, but it was...
But their characterization of Emma and Kitty were fantastic.
Yeah.
In it. It was a lot of fun. It reminded me of, you know, it wasn't exactly the animated series.
Yeah.
But it was for that era, it was way better than X-Men Evolution.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
agreed.
I miss it. Okay.
Anyway.
So,
speaking of X-Men and stuff. Magneto.
Oh, right? Right? So
So we're going to get into a little bit comic book spoiler territory that goes into some speculation for Marvel.
So if you haven't read, what is it? Axis number 7?
Yeah, it's Axis number 7 and some of the subsequent tie-ins this week. Sorry, I just heard talking. I was like, what? The voice of Al Pacino.
It's Ego the Living Planet.
I know, he's coming for us. So what access has been going on? It's they had the head of Charles Xavier stolen by the Red Skull, who has created the Red Onslaught.
I love that Al's still here. He's going to stick around for the rest of the show. Sorry, it made me laugh.
Sorry, Meredith. What's happened is all the villains have turned good in the comic Marvel-verse, and all the good guys.
Not all of them. A selection.
A good majority that were on Genosha when this happened. And what happened is Scarlet Witch is now one of the bad guys, where Magneto, who's been kind of walking the line for the past couple of years, he's starting to really feel like guilt and want to push this goodness. So him and his son, Pietro Quicksilver, have been working together to try to stop Scarlet Witch. And Scarlet Witch comes and does not utter the word no more mutants, but she basically utters no more family or no more blood ties. And she calls out a spell to the gods of chaos to render all of the Maximoff blood, generation, dead.
So let's see. Does she say it here?
No, it should be the next panel.
It's the next panel.
But she says, "You're not my father." Yeah, she says, "End of the line." And what happens is Quicksilver does not recover from this, but Magneto is not affected.
Yeah, Magneto doesn't get zapped at all.
To insinuate that Magneto is not the father of Wanda and Pietro. Which would
so Quicksilver is indeed the brother, but Magneto
is not the
a
father.
Known mutant. Is not the father.
What does that have to do with it?
Fox.
Yeah.
Oh,
it solves the mutant problem.
Got it.
She basically says no more mutants for the MCU, and now it kind of creates a new tie-in for Marvel Comics to go along the lines with the MCU. So we might, I don't know if they're going to keep, I mean, we know they're mutants insofar as that Cerebro's found them. I don't think that there's too much history that you can't really retcon them.
You couldn't retcon all of that, but you can a couple of key characters retcon a little bit.
Yeah.
Even though they've got, what, like 60 years of history. Of being, because that was...
But it's always been murky. It's always like,
It was this one. We're Quicksilver and Wanda.
Yeah.
X-Men number 4.
Yeah, but Magneto's lineage has always been called into question, even with Polaris specifically, because...
They handled that in X-Factor, right? Yeah.
Well, and that was one of the first storylines, is that she has magnetic powers like her dad, but we don't ever know if it's really her dad.
Yeah.
So I think it's really interesting that Marvel is choosing to do this now with the films coming out next year, and I think they really do want to start differentiating themselves from Fox.
Yeah, I think so. I think this is their way of trying to steal back those characters from Fox. Yeah. So,
I'm curious for our viewers out there who also are up to date on comics. I'd really love to hear your thoughts on this. This is something like I actually am really torn about, and I haven't actually quite decided if I like it or not. So I'd love to sit and do like a chat with some of our viewer readers about this, because it has major implications.
It is kind of interesting, you know, because it's like, in one way, it's like we want the comics to continue being the comics and we like watching the movies, but like when the politics start to invade the literature, I just want to enjoy my...
Yeah. So. But it doesn't mean it's a bad thing. I guess it depends on where they're going to go with this.
Yeah.
Like how is, you know, Marvel...
It's interesting. It's a big move. I mean, that's a big deal. Well, and Quicksilver's just dead?
As far as we know, yeah.
And Scarlet Witch is not?
Nope.
Well, I don't think she killed Quicksilver. She just, like...
I refrain from posting the next panel for super spoily alert, but he is on the ground and Magneto's trying to wake him up. And
well, because we, like, yeah, the variant covers for the new Uncanny Avengers coming out is Wanda and Pietro on the front with No More Mutants painted behind them. So maybe she undoes their mutant powers.
That's interesting.
That would be the second time that's happened to poor Quicksilver.
Oh, my God.
Poor
Wanda, come on, get it together.
She is crazy.
I want to know from listeners and viewers, too, what was your team in Marvel versus Capcom 2? That's been bugging me. Just put that up, too.
What was your team?
I always did... Cable was my big guy. I loved Sentinel. And I usually brought in, I think, Cyclops. I think I did the father and the son.
Doctor Strange is in that game, right?
I don't think he's in the second one. I think he's in the third one.
Third one? Okay.
But Cable, Cyclops, and Sentinel all had great super combo. Like, you could just, you would blast the whole screen. It was a great, like, and I was good at that. I think that's my team. I know Cable for sure.
Yeah.
Scimitar.
I did always love playing with the Sentinel whenever I've played.
Yeah, like, Rocket Punch.
I didn't play consistently, but I loved it.
Well, he was kind of a nice OP character to play. Like, he was, you have your heavy with the Sentinel.
Yeah.
I liked it.
He was great. My friend left his Sega Dreamcast at my house one summer. He's like, you play it more than I do. You might as well hold on to it. And it was like that and one other game that I never played.
That's awesome. So that's all I did.
Here's one. I was at an art show at Hero Complex last Friday, and it was an arcade themed art show, and they also had a bunch of old arcades there.
That's so cool.
There was a X-Men versus Street Fighter game, which I have never heard about.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and I played it, and it was super freaking rad, but I'm like, how have I never heard of
X-Men? No, you know what? I think I have heard of it.
Yeah. It was one of the first ones that led to all the other stuff. And they're like, we want more than just X-Men.
No idea. So
I think that's awesome.
It was really awesome.
But you know what you should do, listeners, is download the X-Men arcade game if you've got an Xbox.
Yep.
I don't know if you can do it with the PS4, but I know with Xbox.
You can get the classic arcade game. It's so good.
X-Men.
Yep. And there's also a new, for iPhone, I think it might just be iPhone, but there's a new Marvel Battle of Champions or something like that. It's a new game. I played it for like 5 minutes today. I really like it. It's like a Mortal Kombat type thing. It's like real tap. I don't really like the tappy stuff on the iPhones, but it's really well done.
Nice.
And seems really intuitive.
You're like the third person in 2 days has mentioned this
really?
To me. Yeah.
Check it out. And I'm still so hooked on that Spider-Man runner. I love it. Speaking of Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man. Let's jump over to Sony, where Sony very kindly released this news of their own accord.
Yeah.
They were like, hey guys, we just want to let everyone know we're going to publish these emails on your behalf.
Give them to WAPO. It's fine.
Yeah.
We'll take care of it.
So thanks to the Sony leak, we've had some probably embarrassing emails for some people, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. There are some really not so great things.
There were some doozies in there.
Yeah. But that's relevant to our news.
But relevant to us is that Sony, as I think we've said on this show before, has no clue what they're doing with Spider-Man. They're reaching for everything. At one point, they had an animated comedy that they had pitched from the Lego Movie guys. Did you hear about?
No, I didn't hear about that. But I love the Lego Movie.
The Lego Movie's so good. Yeah. Like, so good. But I don't know if I want to see an animated Spider-Man comedy.
Unless it was a cartoon. If it were a cartoon, I could probably get behind it. But no.
Like a Big Hero 6 kind of thing? Like, what were they thinking? Like,
yeah. I mean, knowing Sony, it would have been, like, aimed at 8-year-olds. Not, like, it would have been, like, you know, silly jokes, like, probably fart jokes. It wouldn't have been, like, a witty...
Like Spider-Man's farting webs or something
exactly.
like that?
Yeah, exactly. I feel like it would have been, like, not anything that... Anyone else?
Not very clever, but it's the Lego Movie guys. They could have done a good job with
it. I'm a huge Spider-Man fan, and
Spider-Man?
Spider-Man. Is that what I said?
No, Spider-Man. Spider-Man.
Yeah. I love Mr. Spider-Man. I'm a huge Spider-Man fan, and I always have been, but it's never been for comedy. Mm-hmm. So I get a little nervous. Like, I think the newest Spider-Man, Ultimate Spider-Man, that's on it's the cartoon right now.
Yeah,
it feels more like a Deadpool cartoon to me.
Yeah,
it's all that stuff, and I don't like it. Like, I don't want if it's a Deadpool cartoon, let it be Deadpool cartoon. But like the breaks of the fourth wall, the crazy animation, like it feels like Deadpool, and that's never what I liked about Spider-Man. What I like about Spider-Man is the sacrifices that he makes every day to do the right thing, and how he does the right thing. Like, that's what's cool. That's what's exciting.
And
that's what I want.
And it's all there.
It can be there. It can be the spice on top. He should be funny, but he's never been a comedian. Like, more than anything, it's just people, heroes and villains, when they're fighting with or against Spider-Man, they're like, just shut up. He's motor mouth. He's not a stand-up comedian.
And I think that's the problem, is that people write, they take witty and think comedy, and it's not. It's not.
And it can be. I mean, you can make Spider-Man funny, but that shouldn't be, for me, I don't like when it's... I mean, that was my first problem. Yeah. We talked about this. Or maybe it was... I don't know. But I talked about in the first two axis, the comic book that's out right now, it was just all quips from every hero.
Yeah.
And it was like, wah, wah, wah.
There was no sense
of, like, urgency with a giant onslaught, Red Skull hybrid, whatever. It was just like joke, joke, joke. And I didn't laugh at any of them.
Mm-mm. Yeah. It was almost like Marvel said, hey, remember, you're a little too serious. Why don't you add a joke or two?
Right. And he's like, I'll show you. You know what I mean?
I'll show you jokes, Marvel.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have any big interest in a Spider-Man comedy. Yeah, I mean, that's what Turn Off the Dark was. I know, well, me either, but yeah, which is good.
Just to show like how Sony is just like, I don't know, like they've considered the animated comedy from the Lego guys, Lego Movie guys. They also wanted to, we're considering a female led spinoff of some sort, and that, I mean, we heard about that. Yeah, we heard about that.
Spider-Gwen's pretty great.
It is.
Yeah.
In the comics. Really? And like that the whole Spider-Verse is amazing.
That whole Spider-Verse thing is out of control.
It's brutal.
In a good way.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm 2 weeks behind in it right now. I haven't been able to catch up, but
it's brutal.
And an email to Amy Pascal from Sony Pictures president Doug. He suggests Doug Belgrad. Doug. We're good friends.
You
Doug.
Know Doug?
You know Doug. Doug Belgrad, he suggested a possible possible scenario with Marvel producing a new trilogy of Spider-Man movies while Sony retains creative control, marketing, and distribution.
Which sounds like a fair... Sounds fair.
Does it? So, like, this would be... Here's basically what would happen. Sony would say, hey, Marvel... Do this. Do it this way. No, this way.
Right.
No, this way. No, this way.
But I don't think
Let's put it out.
It wouldn't really go that way. It wouldn't actually
happen. Well, but that's what they're saying, though, with Sony retaining creative control, marketing, and distribution. Like,
I think
marketing and distribution and the studio model is the first to get paid. So they're getting the biggest chunk of money no matter what. Mm-hmm. Marvel did all the work in producing it. And Sony still got to maintain creative control. Like, if that was actually offered, Marvel would have been like, no!
No, and right? But I still think, like, it still would have given Marvel the rights to use Spider-Man in the way that they want to in Marvel's own films.
In the way that Sony wants them to.
Yeah,
Creative control, and all the Spider-Man movies I don't like.
No, yeah. But I really think if that were to happen, if that scenario was what played out, they would probably trust it, Marvel, because that's the problem, is they don't know what the heck they're doing.
I would hope so.
But they'd probably just want final say.
Also, the big news was that one of the emails confirmed that Marvel actually did contact Sony via email wanting to include Spider-Man in their planned third Captain America movie, which we all know now is Civil War.
But we got Black Panther, and I'm pretty excited about that. I'm sad
about Spider-Man, but I think Black Panther will fill that role really well.
I agree.
You know?
I think.
And there's more at stake too, because now they're fighting over the like a nation's like loyalty and the technology of that nation instead of just
a guy on the street,
a witty, quippy,
right. And I didn't like
Spider guy.
I didn't like Civil War when I read it, and I actually just found my issues of it, and I was like, I didn't like it. and I wouldn't want to see them do that Spider-Man story again.
Yeah,
you know, because I was like, I didn't really
announcing
I didn't really
Peter
like
Parker
it the first time, and like. And then I hated everything that followed. I hated One More Day or whatever.
Oh, Brand New Day?
Brand New Day.
Oh my gosh.
Made me so mad. I hated it. Brand New Day, basically, in the comics Civil War, Spider-Man unmasks himself. He is loyal to Tony Stark. Everything that led up to Civil War with the Amazing Spider-Man was written by Straczynski. He's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
It was Spider-Man under the tutelage of Tony Stark. Iron Man, and Iron Man gave him a new suit, and he was Iron Spider, and Peter Parker and Mary Jane were living in Stark Tower, the Avengers Tower, and Peter and Tony were working together and creating all this great stuff, and I loved it.
Because Peter Parker is a brilliant
scientist in his own right. Yeah, that's a huge part of it. And then when the Civil War came around, Tony Stark convinced him to register for the Superhuman Act
and
then go on TV and unmask. And all heck broke loose, and every villain that Spider-Man ever punched in the face was like, I'm going to punch you in the heart.
Yeah.
And they started going around.
Punch you in the heart.
Eventually, they were hired, the Kingpin hired somebody to take out Spider-Man or Mary Jane or Aunt May. And they were on the run. They were in a hotel room, and then Spider-Man's spider sense went off, and he grabbed Mary Jane, who was close to him, and hit the floor, and Aunt May got shot.
Yeah.
And nobody could save her. She was dying. She was just too old. Spider-Man went on a war path.
He got the black costume.
Yeah.
Oh, my
the
God.
Best part
I
of
loved
it,
it.
The best part of it is when he went to Rikers Island or whatever, the prison, and
Star Trek, right? Star Trek Next Generation.
Right. Yeah. But he went to the prison and called out Kingpin, and he was like, get out here.
Yeah.
And he took off his mask again, and he beat the snot out of the Kingpin, like, mercilessly in front of everybody. And he's like, you've lost all your power. And he's like, I'm not going to kill you, but if you ever come back at me or my family again, I will fill your lungs with web fluid, and you will suffocate and die.
Yeah.
And everybody saw me beat you. And it was just like, whoa, Peter, Parker serious? Like, it was awesome.
And it was,
but then Aunt May died, and Mephisto shows up in Brand New Day, and he's like, I will take back time, and you will not be unmasked. Aunt May will not have been shot, but you and Mary Jane will never have been married.
Or have their child together, too.
Or, like, they're going to wipe
out.
He's going to take out their love, because to rob him of that love would be the greatest attack on, and he keeps talking about him, and he's like, Mephisto wants to take Peter Parker and Mary Jane's love and future from God, I guess, like whatever.
Yeah.
And then Peter Parker and Mary Jane's like, we'll find each other somehow, and they do it. And I'm like, Mephisto shows up, and he's like, I'm going to take your love from you and from God.
It's one of the worst retcons.
What are we doing? Yeah, and then he goes back into it. Yada yada yada. I hated it. Anyway.
I hated it so much. I stopped reading Spider-Man after that.
Me too.
Yeah,
I was like, nope, done.
Me too.
I didn't start reading it until I was reading a lot of the Miles stuff over in Ultimate, but then I picked up the Doc Ock
Superior
stuff,
I love
which
it.
Is really good.
Oh, yep. Superior is what got me back on.
Me too.
Yeah.
I just added Amazing Spider-Man back to my poll for
Yay!
The first time yesterday.
Oh, that's
that
awesome.
Does feel good, though.
It does feel good. Yeah. It's like, no, he's mine.
Mm-hmm.
I love him. We're good friends, me and Spider-Man. We should be hanging out more, you know?
Yeah.
But Dan Slott, who's been writing a lot of stuff, has been great. And Superior Spider-Man, I love. And I've been into Spider-Verse and all that. So
honestly, if you're not reading Spider-Verse stuff, start
like, check it out. And it's
so
Pell, who's one of my favorite
so
artists.
Fun.
The
yeah.
art
so
is gorgeous.
Well, so that's
Sorry.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's
no,
Spider-Man.
No, that's what we do the show for.
He's my Doctor Strange.
Aww.
Well, and we need that. We need a Spider-Man.
So anyway,
expert.
I'm glad that it'll be Black Panther and not Spider-Man for that reason.
Yeah.
I also, again, we've talked about this once. I don't think Sony will ever be like, take this.
Yeah,
multi-billion-dollar character. It doesn't make any sense, which is a shame because I don't think they've been handling him properly.
No, and one of the emails, I didn't write it down here, but one of the emails was that Spider-Man is literally the only franchise that Sony has. Like,
right.
Yeah.
You know, WB has Harry Potter. They've got all of DC.
Yeah.
You know, Disney is it's Disney.
Right.
But Sony is just like, we've got Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
And they're not doing anything with it. So they're having a Spidey summit in January. And,
really?
Yeah.
Is that... I missed that.
Oh, you
that.
Did? Yeah. No. As of November 30th, I believe, they were planning to have a Spidey summit where all the bigwigs at Sony were going to get together and try to figure out what in the hell to do
Let's
with Spider-Man.
Let's reboot it again.
So far, Sinister Six and Venom is still on the slot, is still on their slate to move forward. So, anyway, television. We're moving to television. First of all, Cook, you started watching S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I started watching.
You and I have been on it.
You guys have been keeping up. I've really had a hard time with it. I think when it gets when it becomes a melodrama, I don't like it.
Yeah.
But I think when they do stuff well, I really like it. And like the mid-season finale that was this week, right?
Yeah.
I had a blast.
It was so fun.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
I think that was done. I thought that was the best it's been.
It's gotten better
and now it's
and
like...
they'll sometimes hit a little low point because there was two or three episodes this season that I was like, I'm about ready to give up again. But, you know, they've been... I may have read some synopsises, but last week and this week's episode were really, really fun.
Once they found the hidden city and everything and started going for it, it was moving forward. Yes.
So the big reveal. So spoiler alert if you haven't watched.
Spoiler alert.
So we finally know who Agent Sky is, and they gave us a tease last week because they played a song with a key lyric in it about Daisy, and it kind of came out of nowhere because it's weird. Even though we knew who her dad was, I never was like, oh, no, she's going to be Daisy Johnson. No, it didn't even dawn on me. I'm like, holy crap, she's Daisy Johnson. Quake.
Yeah.
Like, so who Quake is sometimes confused as being a mutant or not in the comic book.
But she is a mutant, isn't she?
I think they're retconning it to inhuman status, but yeah.
Well, obviously so here, but like in the comic books up to this point, she's been a mutant,
even then,
right?
they thought she was a mutant. They've called that into question in the comics, but she has she has palled around with the X-Men before and the Avengers, but mainly she's with S.H.I.E.L.D. And what's great about Daisy Johnson within the comic universe with S.H.I.E.L.D., she actually goes on to become the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. after Fury. Where Maria Hill's only ever been acting director, Daisy is the youngest agent to ever become.
Yeah, she's still in her 20s.
She's super young, and she's actually the one who brings Coulson on in the comics. You know, because they brought Coulson in after his popularity in the films, and so it's funny that Coulson actually works for her.
Yeah.
But it is interesting to see that if they're starting to set this up, I don't know if she can necessarily ever replace Samuel Jackson as Nick Fury, but at some point he's not going to be doing these films anymore.
Yeah.
So it's I'd be curious to see if they're bringing her in for a long haul story.
Oh, that could
similar
be
to what she goes through in the comics.
Because yeah. in the comics she's one of three level 10 clearance.
Mm-hmm.
Agents, right?
Yeah.
Well, along with Nick Fury
and
Black
Widow. She is tough. The first, yeah. I don't really know her that much. I haven't read too much of her stuff, but I read Secret Wars with Bendis
yeah.
wrote,
mm-hmm.
and she's brutal in that.
She is.
At the end of it, I mean, we're going spoiler town, so I'm
yeah.
going to do it.
Spoil
she
away.
She uses her powers to explode Wolverine's heart.
Yeah.
Like Wolverine
she makes
attacks
a small,
Fury.
Like,
Fury
earthquake.
Messes with his brain,
yeah.
and then Wolverine realizes it and attacks him, and she earthquakes his heart, and his chest bursts.
Yeah.
And she kills him, and then like slowly it like regenerates.
Regenerates because he's Wolverine.
I was like, oh, she burst his heart. That's well, so
and she,
brutal.
I think she like gave Magneto like an aneurysm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She was like one
I can't
of
remember where that was,
that
but
can...
she was like,
yeah, she knew microquakes.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
She's
yeah, her ability to control seismic activity is just it's
yeah.
so it and to me it's almost like that's why I almost feel she's like because no mutant ever seems to have their stuff together enough to
yeah.
do that. Like she's just really great, and the way that they revealed her power this week was in Agents
it was
of
really
was
cool.
Really
that was
cool.
a really cool moment.
Yeah.
Like
some Romeo and Juliet stuff,
right?
Death in the Tomb.
Oh, that was
all that.
I hated that. I
yeah,
hated that.
Me too, man.
I that hated
that,
and it
bummer.
Seems so. Useless.
Yeah, I don't
like,
understand.
I don't
why.
Understand the drama behind it. Like,
unless that actor was quitting to go on to something else.
Probably he's great.
Yeah.
I love
yeah.
that
yeah,
actor.
He was great. He was great.
That was such.
Are
a
we?
Bummer.
Are we purposely not saying who?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like we spoiled everything.
I know, but yeah, we're not.
I don't want to spoil that.
I know. I don't.
Yeah.
yeah
so.
Like power. Getting power sets are one thing. I don't like spoiling character deaths. I don't
no.
know why.
Oh no, no.
Like
no.
I can tell you, like, oh yeah, she's so and so from the Marvel comics, but. I don't want to talk
yeah,
to
but watch it. Check it out. Let us know what yeah. you guys think. I know there's been a lot of... We've gotten some comments like,
yeah.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., blah, blah. Like, people don't like it. And I'm yeah. one of those people. Like, it took me a long... But the last two episodes, especially mm-hmm. the mid-season finale, I really enjoyed. And I texted Matt when they... Like, I knew that they were going to say the word Kree.
Yeah.
But when they said that they're Kree, I was like, like, it's a cool thing. Like,
yeah.
that they're doing that and it's expanding. Like, Marvel's just... expanding
yeah.
so
Loading.
Severely in such
yeah.
a fun way.
Yeah.
I thought this episode looked good. I thought the effects were really cool.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I liked
really
it. I really liked this
game.
One.
Yeah, I loved it. And mm-hmm. just the whole reveal at the end. And we got to see the Terrigen Mists, which was
yeah.
cool. Like, so, okay.
Hey.
So, what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say that when the Obelisk Oven and the Crystal came out, it was a color blue that made me think it was like an Infinity Gem.
Oh,
like, and I don't think it is,
no,
but like when I first saw
good.
It, but I know, but I was like, oh, like maybe there's something tied in with that, but it was same color
no, I,
type.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I can see that.
You
yeah,
know what I mean? I was just like, oh man, but it doesn't make sense because then there was another one later on and it broke so easily.
Yeah.
And yada,
yeah.
yada, yada.
Well, so the Terrigen crystals they're on the moon, right? The Terrigen crystals, I think they come from the moon, from the blue area of the moon,
right.
which is where the Watcher also lives. They're hard to get. They're very rare. The Terrigen crystals have the Terrigen mists, and when they hit water, the mist comes out. And if you're an Inhuman, it completely rewrites your genetic code and unlocks
what you're supposed
your power.
To be.
And the powers are always based on either your greatest dreams, your greatest fears, or what the city actually needs.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. One of my favorite Inhumans... turned into a gate that will send you anywhere.
Wow.
I can't remember his name, but he's lit like...
Gate Boy.
Okay.
Gate Boy.
No,
but
unlike Gateway.
He's literally like a stone arch and a wall.
What a bummer.
I know.
And
what a bummer for that dude.
Yeah, but his power is to send you wherever you need to be.
Oh.
You know, you can be like, I need to go find some Kentucky Fried Chicken. He'd be like... Done.
There you
That's
go.
That's crazy. I was always my worry, like growing up, that when I got my mutant abilities, it would be like a bummer.
Like, I'll really,
like somebody be like, God, I need a pen. I'd be like, what?
you always feared.
Like, what are you, an X-Man? I'm like, yeah, I hear the records.
Oh, let's do that as our question. What would be the worst mutant power? Like,
okay.
Like, so that is our question for next week. Next week, by the way, will be our last show of the year. Then we'll
yeah.
come back in January. But next week, and not a contest, mm-hmm. just for fun, what would be the worst?
Yeah.
Like, you go into the crystal chamber, the crystals release their Terrigen mists.
So not worst mutant, but worst inhuman.
Whatever.
Worst power.
Yeah, worst power like, that you have been given.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
man.
You go through a genesis of sorts. You become a superhero.
You become a gate. No, maybe like, come away to send other people cool places, yeah, and you have to stay at home.
You have to stay in Adeland
the
whole time.
That's awful. That's going to be tough to beat.
And that's already canon.
Just
that's
the emotional damage that would. You know what I mean?
And,
like he doesn't even get to talk to anyone. Like he doesn't get to commune. Like
okay, and I want to add a caveat to that: is try to go something like I'm not asking everyone to research, but try to go something that doesn't already exist to your knowledge. To your
knowledge. You know, my mutant power is that I can call paperclips to me.
What would you be saddest about?
I was like, no, we can't have gold balls. We already have gold balls. He's canon.
Yeah. What would be the most, the worst, most disappointing mutant power or inhuman power?
Yeah.
I love it. All right. That's how the Inhumans work. We want to talk about Terra Genesis, which we did.
And we're kind of running out of time.
So we will very quickly say... once more, Kristen Ritter is now officially cast as Jessica Jones, and it's looking good that Mike Coulter is Luke Cage. Just real quick, I think Kristen Ritter is probably...
More like Jessica Juggs. Nice.
In from left field. I think she's perfect casting, personally, for her.
It's going to
be Jessica Jones. I think she's great.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time with the hair color, which you think I should be able to see beyond hair color.
yeah, I don't know if they can do anything about hair color.
I know.
We're stuck.
We don't have the technology to change that.
I'm just so familiar with her on Breaking Bad that I just see her. I've seen her in other things.
I think that Breaking Bad is proof of how good she'll be at Jessica Jones.
I agree.
Because there's a, like, you know, she's got like this core heart of gold where it's great, but like,
but she's so broken.
She's so challenged. And like, that's why she's like lashing out the way she is and doesn't trust people. And it's I think she's dead.
I'm excited to see what she does.
I should have photoshopped her hair color while I was at it.
Next time. Thanks for failing.
And then Mike.
And Mike Coulter is Luke Cage.
Yeah,
I'm excited. I am so excited.
I'm not familiar with him.
I don't know
at all.
I just like his look. He looks so awesome.
Cage. He looks great.
And then for those who don't know, in the comics, Luke Cage and Jessica Jones get married. They have a baby. I only know Jessica Jones through the New Avengers.
Yeah, same.
I've read Alias.
Yeah, I know. That's what everybody... But I haven't.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's so good.
And in the New Avengers, they're married with a kid. Or they're together with a kid. I don't know if they're married, but they're a power couple. Power couple.
It's really good.
I was going to ask...
He's a cool character.
I was going to do fan casting for Purple Man.
I have an idea. My favorite Luke Cage moment, he's like, I hold to a very simple philosophy. I expect everyone to be a piece of crap, and I'm pleasantly surprised if it turns out otherwise.
It's a good way, it's a good philosophy to live by.
That sums him up perfectly, too.
I love that.
Okay, so on to the Marvel fan question from last week. This is for a prize. This is for two tickets to Wizard World, where pop culture comes to life.
Nice.
They have all sorts of great panels there. It's Comic-Con. It's basically Comic-Con. On a smaller scale, and they travel from city to city.
And it's not just comics. They have a great film, like horror TV show. Mm-hmm. They're really good. I love.
They've had the cast of Doctor Who out there before. They have a lot of great.
Yeah, a lot of great guests.
It's a cool thing, and we got tickets for you.
Yeah, they have a lot of Walking Dead stars that go out there. So if you're a big fan of Walking Dead, fan question was: what would you name a Rocket and Groot buddy cop team up movie? And we narrowed it down to our top six. The people at Wizard World helped us out a little bit. Over on Twitter, TJ Sangera said The Wood, The Bad, and The Furry. Not bad.
I like it.
Adrian Santiago said Fuzzy and Twigs, Xandar Homicide. Nick Ward wrote Groot, Groot, Bang, Bang. Jonathan Berry, The Good, The Bad, and The Baddest.
Wow.
Chris Whitehead wrote The Long Branch of the Law. And Marco Reyes wrote Nature's Fury. What do we think?
What was the second one?
That was Fuzzy and Twigs, Xandar Homicide.
What was the one after that?
Groot, Groot, Bang, Bang.
I think I like that one.
You like Groot, Groot, Bang, Bang?
I think so.
That's your vote? The Wood, the Bad, and the Furry. Fuzzy and Twigs, Xandar Homicide. Groot, Groot, Bang, Bang. The Good, the Bad, and the Baddest. The Long Branch of the Law. Nature's Fury.
I'm going Groot, Groot, Bang, Bang.
Groot, Groot, Bang,
that's
Bang.
That's my favorite.
All right. Meredith?
I'm torn between Nature's Fury, because I love how that sounds, but I'm a huge fan of Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang. So I almost want to lean towards Groot, Groot, Bang, Bang, because I'm just trying to envision Groot and Rocket in that film now. And it's just going to...
Jatarvis, did you hear them, the choices?
Yeah, it's Groot Bang Bang.
Groot Bang Bang for you?
It's too good of a movie.
Well, but we're not doing a good Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Well,
was
then
a good
what's
movie.
Yours if yeah, you hate yours? That one?
No,
so
I don't
much.
Hate that one. I'm simply
what's
saying.
Vote?
I like Nature's Fury, personally. I think that would be an awesome, like Nature's Fury, and then they're nature. Yeah. They're nature. It's so funny.
Here's my thing. I like Nature's Fury because it seems original. It's pretty.
Yeah.
It's pretty OG.
Original.
Yeah, I like.
Fun.
I mean, I also have to give some award. Some points there for originality, but then Groot Bang Bang's a good spoof. Oh, it's so, who's going to decide?
Well, right now it's 2 for Groot Bang Bang.
Yeah.
I wrote Nature's Fury.
So it's really up to me.
Yeah. If you say Nature's Fury, then it's a tie and I don't know what we do.
Everybody runs.
I know.
We all go to the event.
It's tough. Because if it's, because I like Nature's Fury. That was what I came in liking.
Do you
I
want
have to go with my
Fuzzy
heart.
And Twig, Xandar Homicide. That's I like
that
Xandar Homicide.
Too. I do
Xandar
like
Homicide's
Xandar Homicide. Well, I guess
even though they're not actually from Xandar, still
but
sounds kind of fun.
They don't have to live
that's
there.
Where
they just work
that's
there.
Where they're at.
Yeah.
That's where they work. What? So what do you?
Okay. Meredith, all right. What? I'm gonna. All right. Let's give an honorable mention at least to Xandar Homicide.
Fine.
Okay.
I agree.
We'll give an
honorable mention to Adrian Santiago.
Mm-hmm. An honorable mention to Nature's Fury, because it looks like
so
these...
you're going
to
say Groot Bang Bang. That's yeah, what, that's and that's fine. That's your vote. That's all right. Vote. Nick Ward, we will be getting in touch with you. You have won 2 tickets to Wizard World. We would suggest that you find the one that's closest to you. There's 25 shows next year, so chances are very strong that there will be a show close to you. So we will be getting in touch with you. In the meantime, that's all the time we have for today.
Wow.
There was a lot of good
lots
titles.
Lots of fun stuff in there. So thank you for joining us on Marvel Movie News. Again, you can catch us on iTunes, subscribe to us there, rate us, find us on the Popcorn Talk Network over on YouTube as well. You can follow me on Twitter at the Matt Key.
You can find me at M Placco.
At Matt Cook Tweeted.
Thank you very much, and we'll see you next week for our very last show of the year. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.